interrupting the current neo-uranial, climate-challenged, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 609. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so get you behind the woodshed because you don't know what you missed until you make the switch and get behind the woodshed. And it really is pretty much that simple. Roll up your sleeves and get involved in your own life to stop the miscreants against you. Broadcast has been going on for a decade or so, a little bit longer, but a couple of other networks. Same message. I was just told by sound that some of the broadcasts, the old broadcasts that are coming up on the network now in rotation, the message has been pretty consistent the whole time. And I appreciate that, though it should be. And I guess the point being here for me to tell you, you lay your work into a foundation that's solid, and it should stick with you for a long time. So for me, it's good to hear, and I would expect it, but you never know when you made a mistake, and that's what you always check for. Is it still tracking? Did you get it right? And do you still have it right? In the face of all the chaos, you'll see it's still right. And so there's a foundation I'm coming from. Whether anybody else will believe it, or can use it, or understand it, or apply it, that's, again, mine, but you can make it yours. And so whatever that means to anybody who has a question about how to proceed, what to be doing, I guess that's a good example back to me. My own work is still holding up, so I appreciate that. Thanks for the notice on that. Part of me doesn't even listen to what I say, as far as I don't go back and look at all my listen to my stuff. So it's just on the moment, of the moment, in the week, if you will, for the notice to us and what that might mean to us and how we can look and project it down into the future. So looking back, though, after my question last episode regarding U.S.-aided biolabs in Africa related to the Dinga-Dinga disease affecting mostly, if not only, women and girls, for those affected prior by malaria and then with the assassination of Russian Lieutenant Governor Igor Kirillov, the head of the Russia's Radiological, Chemical, and Biological Defense Forces, who read this title this week, almost as if they're listening to the broadcast, folks. It's pretty kind of neat how this thing comes along and how, if you start tracking, you start picking up on the theme that is coming along. But the U.S. biolab activity in Africa, Russia's country-by-country analysis. The continent is the new focus of American biolab activities, the Defense Ministry of Moscow has claimed. Let me add here, I'm not just talking about the United States lab just because they're the only people doing this. We don't know other countries that aren't. I would say that they are. This is now the highlight, though, and this is the problem for us. So if we look at what the COVID swindle was, it wasn't even this, but it's the function of this that moves into the labs and then comes back out and affects us. And we found out our own United States military will attack its own people. Even if it's wrong to attack others, it's still they'll attack you. So this is neutral territory for everybody around the world. The U.S. is significantly expanding its military biological presence in Africa, raising concerns about the sovereignty and health care dependencies among participating nations, new analysis from the Russian military has claimed. According to documents presented on Tuesday, the U.S. is collaborating with local ministries, private contractors, and Big Pharma, the companies that implement the American standards in biological safety and health management in Africa. The documents indicate that the U.S. military biological presence on the African continent is rapidly expanding, and studies on the resistance of the pathogenic microorganisms to medical drugs are reportedly being conducted in 18 African countries, while funding is provided by the United States Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. So again, tie these points together. What do we live through and experience through the last 4 or 5 years now? And before that, back around 2010, I'm picking up on the pig's fly flu, but it really starts before that, and we heard about it in the 70s, if you were around. It's all back to that far. It just keeps going back. These people are just never in our lives to cause chaos and harm. According to Moscow, one of the real clients behind military biological projects is the Metabiota company. And again, as I just bring up the consistency of this broadcast and not to toot my horn too loud, though I guess no one else will for the most part, this should be familiar to territory. This is not even knew. This guy, General Igor Kirillov, just found the documents for them. It was in the notice. It was in the news. It was in the studies. It was in anything that you did, any research that you were earnest to do. So, in a way, this is like a summary that Russia found, and I'm reading this for how accurate my research was, how accurate others' research that I relied on, how accurate people's research was that I'd just come across. Again, it's always a check on what's going on. But Moscow's coming across it. As I said last episode, there's nothing new behind the woodshed on this. It's whether or not we're going to stop it and how we do that in the future. Do we see it coming? And again, Operation Hindsight 2020, are we going to see it coming? Are we going to see that it hit us in the past? They did it the same way, different subject matter, but they're coming again. They're coming strong, and they're going to cinch down the locks on us even more. And boy, you saw that happen to a point. And then they couldn't push it too far, although, 2 weeks is a long time to expend to 5 years, and they did it. And that's pretty, again, astonishing to me that people allowed this. We, the people, allowed that. And the law, every law said that that's not possible. So this is a real weakness in our society at this point, and globally, too. Its requests are reported directly towards the U.S. Army's Infectious Disease Research Institute and concerns the training of infectious disease specialists in Kenya and Uganda. That's Metabiota. According to the report, the company's personnel concealed their engagement with Pentagon employees. The primary goal of this activity was to isolate virulent strains and subsequently smuggle them. As a result, Ebola virus samples were illegally exported by company representatives and handed over to the U.S. Army Infectious Disease Research Institute. Here is a breakdown of the countries mentioned in the report from the Russian military. So get the link. I can't go through all of them. I want you to notice, though, they said 18 countries, and there's only about 7 listed. So there's a lot more research that can be done. Which countries and to what extent is listed there for only about 7. Most of the countries are unnamed. So there's a little bit more to be researching down. For those of you that are interested, I suspect that somebody should be, a lot of you should be on this. We need a core of people to be hunting this down to find it out, because, again, it's just a reflection. It's reflected back to us, and we saw that in the great Covey swindle and what they're trying to pass off as an organic, if you will, or organic, a natural virus is nothing of the sort. It's a synthetic, literally injected into the system, both the political system and the people's bodies. That is the pathogen. And it follows the WHO, not the rock group of the owl, but the little people from Whoville, but the World Health Organization definition of what it causes. And when I told you, and they took this definition away, it was very explicit on what's going on. If you have the eyes to see this, they said one DNA unit transfers DNA to another DNA unit. And I said, that's the doctor transmitting that stuff to you. And what they were trying to do is they said there was a DNA inside the jab because they need to have it for purposes of the communicable disease law, but it's not really there. It's a synthetic. So, yes, so those of us that read that going in over a decade ago, we realized it was a man-made transmission vector. And it partly informed me on what I was telling you coming into the 2019 into 2020. But get that link and get the sourcings that you can find and the clandestine sourcings and the smuggling going on. The problem is likely extends beyond those countries, and the pathogenic microorganisms are the thing that's in there that's included in the report. So just start paying attention to those details and use them as leads to move on. And to partially answer my question last episode regarding those U.S. biolabs, it appears the U.S. through the CDC supports those biolabs in the Republic of the Congo, not the military. They're not military biolabs that way. But remember, the CDC helped the United States military execute the great Covey swindle attack at warp speed on Americans over here. So there's a monstrous connection and a monstrous activity going on. If you think that the CDC aid is much removed from the military over there, this sort of tells us that it's certainly not. And this is not even new. But this is an interesting report coming out 1 week later. Didn't have the chance to go find out who and where. But we now see a little clue. It wasn't unknown. but I would not be focusing like I did over in Europe, where the Luger Biolab is in Tbilisi, putting my stuff into ex-Twitter when it was Twitter, to drop a couple articles in to show that there was a problem over there and the special genetic testing that was going on to go after the Slavic people. But that's in the news, too. I'm just not going to cover it today. You find that. Because it's still going on. So, and the bioweapons attack against us and our food supply, despite the government agencies giving the all-clear and safe and effective claptrap, that was corporate lame-ass propaganda trap, claptrap, I saw a video giving us a warning yet again that mRNA products are used in pork now. So as a reminder, got this article I dug up just to give us a place to go to start paying attention to this stuff. And I reported on this a while back. I don't remember now when, maybe back in 2018 or so. Made a comment, made a mention, and didn't know really what we're going to do more than to look. Again, go local, find your, and this is the end result. Even in this article, the video, same answer. And you're going to have to pay attention very carefully on what's in the feed as well. So confused about mRNA vaccines in meat? That's exactly how they want it. I like that title because that's essentially what I tell y'all. They want us confused and they want us to work on our fears and being afeared and our ignorances and all that other stuff and our failings. And that's exactly the right title. But we go on to explain in this article, rumors have been circulating about mRNA vaccines in livestock. Fact checkers have been scoffing about what's really going on. Could we be eating animals that have been treated with mRNA? How do we know what's in the meat at our grocery store? Pork? Yes, it's probably been treated with mRNA. Unfortunately, if you've been eating pork from the grocery stores, even organic pork, it's probably been treated with mRNA because the pork producers have been using the mRNA product since, here it is, 2018. And remember, the Chinese government or a company from the Chinese government bought the largest pork producer in the East Coast about this same time, if I remember correctly. But you'll see whatever it is, so if that the answer to that is true, whatever that year is, they did that. And the United States government allowed it. So, this is a remember what happens to the chemistry from over there coming over here, or India coming from over there to over here. Their quality controls are just not up to par. Well, if there's been mRNA back in 2018, well, I guess they knew about it coming into COVID swindle, didn't they? Yeah, we know they did. This is not even a question. But it's been in the meat here. This report backs that up. Merck's Sequivity platform is used, folks. This is a weapons platform. Used with different sequences of various porcine diseases, including swine flu, to get immune responses in pigs. Interestingly enough, sow mortality rates have increased slightly from 11.1% in 2017 to 12.6% in 2021. A few months ago, Genvax Technologies, a startup that wants to bring self-amplifying mRNA, or SARNA technologies to animal health, received $6.5 million to begin producing vaccines 100% specific to African swine fever variants that may be circulating in pork herds. Let's go back to the first story was from Africa in the Dinga Dingo. They're bringing it out of there. There's more reports coming. And what the General Igor Kirillov pointed out is they're smuggling, and this last story tells us, they're smuggling these things, these natural things out so they go work on them. And then you hear the hesitation. They may be circulating in pork herds. Well, guess what? Go to your communicable disease law. Not for pork, not for animals. Well, for humans. That's another type of animal. But go to the people, and they say, if you look carefully, and I hope people did this, you have to have something that they find in you, if you're infectious principle, that the vaccine would work on from a live attenuated or whatever conditioned organism. And so this, when you think about that, that makes no sense at all. Now, I haven't talked too much about that, but that's the way the law runs. And I said, well, that's going to be due process enough protection. But when you look at it, why would they give some people, if it was a real vaccine that actually worked, why would they shoot you when you're already underneath the effects of it? Why would they double or triple up the quantity there? make your body respond. Your body's already responding. That's what the symptoms are. Anyway, I'm going to leave that one aside. I want you to think about that. This whole thing is messed up, the way they've done this. And it can go back and back, farther back about what HARMA does and what it, how it got created. And we can go do the studies to find out a long time ago how it was co-opted and know what it is today, why we have medicines and continuing disease care instead of cures. In fact, cures, saying you have a cure is outlawed. So that tells you the safety and security of your whole government being and allowing it, because this country is put together for profit, not for peace, if you will, not for stability, even though all the laws say it should be peace and tranquil. So these swine fever may be circulated, and go ahead and inject these pigs anyway, these pork anyway. And he says in this article, or she said, that there's always seems to be enough money for mRNA. Remember, if that's the case, it's happening long before we ever saw the COVID swindle. It's in, again, they did the veterinary side. Remember, we started this whole thing on the veterinary side. I did those reports for the great COVID swindle against you with the military and what veterinary was in the military. And so this is very consistent along the whole line of it. No matter who looks into it, they're going to come up. If you know to decode the words, it all has its same sourcing. And it's all a lot longer than we were ever told or maybe even reported on. Like I said, I started reporting on the COVID swindle when I started broadcasting back in 2009. That's when I started talking about it. It existed before that. That's how I knew about it. We heard about it in 1976, the Hong Kong flu and that stuff. All of this stuff has been back that far. So as in human mRNA treatments, Merck claims that the RNA can't replicate itself and only lasts a short time in animal bodies. So this study says it was referring to Merck claims, and I'll remember what their claims have been and what we've been finding. But this article goes on to say they also say the animals do not shed any RNA particles. Given the wide range of findings in the humans after mRNA treatments, however, I think the public has reason to be skeptical. At least. This is a very diplomatically written article. But remember, like Monsanto, the said Roundup brand glyphosate was not persistent. Monsanto lied about that as well, as these companies tend to do. And then the way the thing is set up is you have to prove that to the contrary before you can stop it. Article goes on. Now, my first thought when I heard about this was disbelief. Ed Dowd's Cause Unknown gives very detailed evidence of increasing death rates from the past 2 years. I couldn't imagine anyone responsible for livestock trying out a product with so much potential to negatively affect profit margins. But most people dying from unknown causes have not been dropping dead immediately after receiving medical treatment. Many deaths occur weeks or months later. And again, we saw 80%, I think this would be in the farmers as well, 80% of the population went with the great COVID swindle. I think at least 80% of the people that are told by their vets, the farmers, the ranchers, or some of the inside knowledge, the universities, if they said it's to get this vaccine, they probably would have just done it. As we saw, not many people at all understand vaccines, let alone the technicals behind it. And I was barely touching the surface on my understanding, but it was enough to be able to figure stuff out. But if you're too busy just raising cattle, someone comes and tells you this is what you need to do, time is money in a way, and it could be a dead animal as well. You just do what you're told in a way, and then maybe if you have some time, you check later. So 80%, at least maybe even higher, just accepts what they're told by the experts. And that's a dangerous condition. Not saying that, not even judging it. It's just a dangerous condition, as we found. Age data for pig slaughter vary somewhat depending on what the pigs are wanted for, but typically range from 4 to 10 months. Pigs' natural lifespans are between 10 and 15 years, which means that pigs used for meat are butchered earlier in their lives. Who knows what we'd see if the pigs reached even 50% of their natural lifespan, and that's got to be implying these sudden things, these comorbidities that show up, all these other stuff that come up. They don't stay alive long enough to show the effects. And yet we also know, they say it didn't change the DNA. It has to. It has to become a hybrid DNA. It's not changing the DNA. It's making a new style of DNA with a different instruction. Yeah, let's go make that spike protein, that protein string. It's not an organism. And the body starts doing it. an interesting little replication machine. And there's companies out there that are now using this, as you heard in this story already. So this is very interesting. Is there mRNA in your food? Well, pork, it looks like there is. So what do we do about it? The lad in the video had the same answer as this article. And as you've also heard here numerous times behind the woodshed as I talk about this stuff, the author says, we talk a lot about importance of securing food supplies on this site, both to avoid novelty products like insects and also for peace of mind. We cannot assume anything we buy at the store has not been treated with a novel pharmaceutical, the pharmaceutical products. I haven't bought meat from the grocery store in a long time, mostly because I produce a lot myself. Of course, meat production is not practical for everyone, but if it is an option for you, you need to think about it. And if not, ask yourself, are there farms in your area committed to raising clean meat? Because there might be. These types of places often have some kind of subscription service and are worth checking out. Even if there's nothing very close, there are some places that ship, or it might be worth a road trip to get a year's worth of meat. If you don't already have good meat sources, now is the best time to start looking for them. And we're already years behind that as well. So I didn't read a lot more that's in this discussion in the article that you might want to read yourself. And if you do read the rest, think about the misinterpretation of the novel products that I did mention here, the contention, and be able to explain to yourself how it misses the boat relative to things novel and how those can't be vaccines that this author may not be aware of. And the words tell me that she isn't. And then notice also that the incorrect contention does not change the otherwise correct rationale and conclusion to buy quality local meat if you can. So don't put too much on that. Just know that there's a lack of understanding about what novel things are, and they predict something when you know it. And just for those that haven't heard it, novel in patent law is lab-made, man-made, it's synthetic, it can't be natural. That's the Myriad 2 case. I read that case too. So this has all been fleshed out in prior episodes, and again coming back to inform us and keep and consistently so and correctly. So again, identify the incongruities, but also don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. She still comes to the same ultimate conclusion: we don't know what this stuff is, let's just stay away from it. Let's go find a local guy, a gal that makes our food, that can do it, that's set up to do it, and let's start supporting that. But this also implies the dire straits of our food system, looking out, as I predicted would happen after those Food Security Acts, the Modernization Acts after 2010. Some parts of this article highlight the undue influence of meat producers and lobbying, which really needs to be looked at. If we want to talk about government efficiency, we need to figure out how to affect this lobbying, and I'm not able to put my mind onto that, because it ends up being a free speech problem that I haven't been able to come tackle so well. But this is no different than adulterating your election process, compromising your lawmakers and all this other stuff, where it eventually takes advantage through the law system, the legal system, the enactment, the legislative system, and they take advantage of us ultimately, which is a threat essentially in many areas. So the Modernization Acts are in part corrupted by that influence. Why they were even brought in, as I pointed out, they had a foreign influence. They're all the goals, the sustainable development goals. The Modernization Acts bring us closer down the trail to all that, and the edge of the cliff they want us to, they'll shove us over. And the subject matters involved were, there was like 7 or 8, they're all sustainability goals. That's, again, the undue influence against us, and that's built into the law that most people don't even know exists. As I wanted to point out in 2010, here they are. You're going to watch them start to come into fruition in about 10 years, and you've watched it. You watched it maintained, and then more importantly, it was actually more formidable in 2022, I think it was, they start bringing this stuff up. And in fact, a couple people stopped who were focusing on food and quality food. They stopped producing the videos and content. I haven't quite figured that out, but anyway, I guess the information was too hot and they decided to back off. But they were trying to inform us about the very same things in a different way. They're just seeing the irrational response that these laws were allowing. I didn't understand the source of it, but it came from a foreign influence that's embraced, no different than we see the foreign influences right now embracing us to go to genocide and committing war around the world. It's all the same nonsense. It's internal to our system. And so we have, relative to all those modernization acts, as I said before, in the past to the future, when they would come in, it's just like clockwork. Here we be, right here, about this problem. Apparently, though, Made in America doesn't mean much anyway, or even great again, and which means implies that we were at once, which may be questionable too. But if you haven't been a spectator and you use this product, there is a fungus among us that I think some of you might need to know. And for a long time, I was going to do recall programs. You know, early on, I started doing quite a bit for that, but then I just got, it's endless. The product recalls that go on and the danger, but this one seemed to grab my eye. The popular eye drops recalled over fungus. The popular brand of eye drops has been recalled in the U.S. after a vial has been found contaminated with fungus. The Sustain Lubricant Eye Drops Ultra PF, which stands for preservative free, have been marketed as offering fast-acting hydration and lasting relief. Major U.S. media outlets reported on the recall notice on Wednesday, even though the Texas-based Alcon Laboratories notified the federal government of the voluntary recall on Saturday, and the Food and Drug Administration posted the recall notice on Monday. According to Alcon, the recall followed a consumer complaint of foreign material observed inside a sealed single-use vial, which was determined to be fungal in nature. Fungal eye infections can result in loss of vision and have the potential to be fatal in individuals with compromised immune systems. And I read that, and that's the whole point about it. Anybody who got the jab has a compromised immune system, even if you didn't have any other comorbidity. So this becomes, as I told you early on, this is going to be very serious to keep track of, and who's going to be susceptible and who's not. Recall affects lot 10101. With the expiration date of September 2025, they were sold in boxes of 25 single-use vials to major retailers such as Target, Kroger, Walmart, and Walgreens, as well as online. The FDA has instructed anyone who may have purchased a recall package to stop using it immediately and return it to the seller for replacement or refund. Anyone adversely affected by the drops should report the problem to the MedWatch Adverse Event Reporting Program, whether online, by mail, or by fax, the agency said. So this has been a BTW Acme, be careful out there, Acme brand, trustworthy people service announcement. That's Acme BTW PSA, Acme brand, trustworthy people service announcement, behind a witch head. Unless there is a fungal in nature in your eyes, see what I did there? Just for y'all. I leave no joke. I shouldn't leave my day job for unstated. The BTW Acme product line is coming along, don't you think? As I heard a couple old broadcasts just by happening, checking in, and I forgot some I had been talking about a long time. We're going to get that product line going, I think. I had quite a few products already over the years. But speaking of potentially tainted ocular services, occulted, Russians spent as much as on occult services as groceries in 2024. End of year statistical reports suggested that fortune tellers and other sorcerers, in quote, sorcerers, made 20 times more this year than psychologists. More than a psychologist. Maybe that's a good thing. But incomes in the magical segment of the economy grew by 20% last year and are expected to exceed that percentage in 2024. Internet traffic to websites providing astrological and numerological forecasts and fortune telling also has grown by 38%. The market for occult services in Russia has reached an estimated 2.4 trillion rubles. It's $24 billion. Bravo dollars. Which analysts say is comparable to how many the nation spent on food over the past 12 months. It is noted that much of the data comes from research ordered by psychologists. The closest competitors to numerologists, astrologists, and the like, that while the psychology market has also grown this year, it is still 20 times smaller than its supernatural rival. So I guess this is a whiny psychologist moment because they're jealous. So, as in America, the politicians step in to protect the profits of the state religion licensee. We hear it right here in this article as well. Russian MP Vitaly Milonov has suggested that fortune-telling was a satanic ritual and described tarot cards as pictures of the devil. The politicians also proposed to sending tarologists, numerologists, and their magicians to prison for committing acts of pseudo-religious nature without registering as a religious organization. Did you catch that, folks? Religious organization, no registration. The state doesn't either, does it? It doesn't register as a religious organization, do it? And yet, we have state religions. The state is a religion. And what about the war against our mental health? Move from these products into mental health control. What they're doing, those mind control techniques. What information might the government be using in its cognitive warfare assaults? Some info just hit the interwebs of deceit. Group publishes details about CIA mind control studies. Now, some of us who've been researching this, and I'm not saying I've done a ton, I've done a lot, but not as much as others. Now, some of you that have done this will just see this as another summary article acknowledging the CIA mind control studies at all. And there's a website that has some archives that you actually might be interested in. I don't know what you know, what the articles you have, what you think you might need for your collection. But those of you that never heard about this, you might want to study it too and see what they do. Historic memos around brainwashing Russian agents, in quotes, brainwashing Russian agents and drugging U.S. inmates with LSD have been put online. Documents shedding light into the CIA's notorious mind control program decades ago are being published by a transparency group, the National Security Archive, an NGO dedicated to using Freedom of Information Act requests to expose government secrets, put some of the records online on Monday to mark 50 years since the CIA's activities were exposed by the New York Times. A full collection of more than 1,200 documents is to be hosted by ProQuest, a scholarly research assistant firm. Starting in the early 1950s, the CIA secretly searched for ways to control human behavior with drugs, including the then novel hallucinogen LSD, hypnosis, and the extreme maltreatment such as sensory deprivation. And I noticed the word novel there. Did you hear it? Interesting. Yeah, they throw it right there. Experiments, including those done on unwitting subjects, largely stemmed from the interest in anti-war sentiments expressed by U.S. troops who fought in the Korean War and went through captivity. The media coined the term brainwashing to explain why soldiers would sympathize with communist enemy. The CIA hoped it could replicate the effect, conducting research under the code names Bluebird, Artichoke, and MK Ultra. Now, I wonder why they thought to choke Artie. What was that all about? CIA Director Richard Helms and MK Ultra Chief Sidney Gottlieb destroyed most of the original records in 1973 in what the archive called, quote, perhaps the most infamous cover-up in the agency's history, close quote. The bulk of its documents came from author John Marks, who in 1979 wrote a book about the controversial program. One of the memos highlighted by the NGO's claimed success in inducing amnesia in Russian agents suspected of being doubled. In another one, Gottlieb signed off on giving federal inmates in Atlanta larger doses of LSD as a part of the research. The archive pointed the finger at a pharmaceutical giant Eli Lilly and company as the supplier of, quote, tonnage quantities of LSD to the CIA. In its, quote, a history marked by a near total impunity at the institutional and individual levels for countless abuses committed across the decades, close quote, the group said some of the research was akin to what was previously done by, quote, the Nazi doctors who were tried at Nuremberg, if you think we're too far from that, and why that becomes a big deal this year, and as I reported last episode, with Trudeau and his finance minister and back on into Germany and all this hoopla around all that, all the hypocrisy wrapped around all that as they attack Russia for wanting to stop it again after Second World War, said that they did stop it when that was a lie. Operation Paperclip, for those of you who might want to look into that. And I have a link to that archive where you can read about this additional information. They say here the most extreme MKUltra project funded through Wolf's group, the infamous depatterning experiments conducted by Dr. D. Ewan Cameron at the Allen Memorial Institute, a psychiatric hospital at McGill University in Montreal, Canada. How you doing, Montreal? Hope you're still all right. Doing good, listening in. Cameron's methods combined induced sleep, electroshocks, and psychic driving, under the which drugged subjects were psychologically tortured for weeks or months in an effort to reprogram their minds. So pick your poison, folks. It can all be exploited in you. Right, P.T. Barnum Musk? And what do the Russians think about a Western government, Schmidt, Monk, dual-influence media? They ain't having it. This is the people over there. Russians fed up with Western media bias. This is the same stuff that they probably figured out with the CIA and all this cognitive warfare that they're working on. Those reports are old. You can almost imagine. Maybe you can't imagine where they might be now. We can see some of the effects and track back some of those as we talk about it behind the woodshed periodically. It's what they're working on. It's what they work on in you, against you. Things you don't know about yourself that they do. Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova was responding to a question about a CNN correspondent. According to Zakharova, the uproar caused by Blitzkrieg's reporting is explained by the fact that the Russian public is fed up with Western media. Our people are fed up with how Western media manipulates information and publishes outright fakes, she stated. Zakharova noted that the Russian public may also be rightfully angry at a U.S. reporter filming a story about such a sensitive subject as Kirillov's murder, given that many Western outlets attempted to justify it. On Wednesday, for instance, the Times published a piece that described the incident as a legitimate act of defense by Ukraine. Quote, when a Western reporter is at the scene of a tragedy and does not consider it necessary to mention that this is a terrorist act that took lives, this causes a storm of indignation, she stated. Blitzkrieg attracted attention on Wednesday when CNN published his report on the assassination of Lieutenant General Igor Kirillov, who headed Russia's Radiological, Chemical, Biological Defense Forces. Kirillov was killed in a blast outside his residence in Moscow, with Russian investigators suspecting Ukrainian special services of orchestrating the attack. Blitzkrieg's report was filmed at the scene of the crime, which made some users wonder whether he is officially authorized to be there. Veterans Note Telegram channel claimed that the journalist, quote, illegally crossed the Russian border, close quote, this summer during Kiev's Kursk incursion and was in one of the Nazi groups filming with Suitsov. The channel questioned Blitzkrieg's right to film in Russia, giving his prior association with Kiev forces. The story gained public attention and was picked up by several media outlets. Well, probably most of you never saw this, but at any rate, this is the dynamic going on in the world. At any rate, listening to people are getting fed up with being told by lies they know, but by our Western media that tells you lies, and you may not understand that they're lies. We can just say, oh, they're all lies, but what about them are lies? As I say, read through the articles, even one that I would say is a benefit to us, read for the incongruities, understand them, explain them to yourself. Can you do that? That's important to do anymore. The story gained public attention and was picked up by several media outlets. Ukrainian troops entered Kursk region in August, with Kiev claiming that it had captured the town of Sudza and the territories along the border. Kiev's territorial gains in Russia have largely been reversed since. Zakharova signaled that the ministry had a number of inquiries with regard to Blitzkrieg's press credentials and his prior forays onto Russian soil. Now, soil, I want to think very carefully on how accurate they're being about interpreting what is going on. I think I need to have you be able to pick this up. This is not just some happenstance analysis. And she makes a very distinctive, makes a very big distinction in this that, again, when we get our news from somewhere, we get the notice from some people, they say that they have the information. But be careful on the accuracy of their interpretation of the information and the totality of it. And I found this little part very important to understand the subtlety of an error that could cause a totally distinction, a difference between the way someone says it's supposed to happen and the way it actually did, or what the officials, in this case Russia, was interpreting about it. Spokeswoman denied the claims that Plotkin is in Russia illegally, saying that he currently has a Russian visa and accreditation. She said the ministry does not have data on his alleged illegal trips to Russia in August, but added that, quote, the fact that he was making reports about Kursk region at the time is certain, while, quote, whether he made them on the ground or remotely is unclear. The Veterans Note linked its story to a video posted by CNN in August, which purported to show Plotkin, quote, reporting on Ukraine's tactics, including their incursion into Russia. Another video posted by the news outlet at the time was described as Plotkin goes on the ground with Ukrainian soldiers. However, in both videos, the narrator says the footage shown was obtained by or given to CNN without mentioning Plotkin filming it, which shows getting the proper story isn't always so easy. Encountering propaganda can be a lot of work as we learn to discern better, to know better behind the woodshed. And Russia is going to have to discern very quickly what the as-yet-identified force is that has taken down about six of their ships to see Davy Jones as we move this thing through and what's going on in the world. Two is the Russian cargo ship sinks near Spain. Two crew members are missing after an engine room explosion caused the Ursa Major to capsize into the Mediterranean Sea. Russian cargo vessel Ursa Major has sunk in the Mediterranean Sea off the coast of Spain, the Russian Foreign Ministry Crisis Center confirmed on Tuesday. According to a statement on its official Telegram account, the ship capsized following an explosion in its engine room. And later stories clarify it wasn't just one explosion. So this is a very concerning development in the world at this point. The department noted that 16 crew members were aboard the Ursa Major. At the time of the incident, 14 were rescued by the Spanish Coast Guard and taken to a port at Cartagena. Two people currently missing, remain missing. The Ursa Major was in transit between St. Petersburg and Vladivostok at the time of the incident. It left port on December 11th and was scheduled to arrive on January 22nd, according to the ship tracking service Marine Traffic. The ship's captain reportedly told the Spanish media that it was carrying empty containers at the time of the incident. However, according to the earlier report by Port News, citing the ship's operator and owner, S.K. Yug, the vessel was initially loaded with cargo of port cranes as well as hatch covers for new icebreakers. That's one thing you might want to look into. Russia is really developing their Arctic icebreaker fleet. To allow that they can run commerce across their ocean in the north, in the Arctic Circle. So very powerful. These are very interesting icebreakers. They're all nuclear-powered as well. So we got to, I'd say, keep our eyes on that as well, nuclear-powered vessels. When we hear about this story, a boat's going down, it just wasn't this one. The cargo was to be taken to Russia's Far East amid the development of port infrastructure along the North Sea route. There it is. The Ursa Major, built in 2009, relatively new ship, was the largest dry cargo operated by SK Yug, a subsidiary of the Russian logistics company Oboron Logistics, part of the Russian Defense Ministry. The company earlier reported that the ship underwent scheduled maintenance in summer of 2024. So it seems likely the sanctions didn't work. The war against Russia now escalates, and if so, seems to me the Navy SEALs must be very busy. This is going to be now turning from sanctions to death by a thousand cargo ship cuts, as Davy Jones better start opening up a lot of more rooms for more ships, it seems, in this war that's starting to go on and ramp up. There's about six ships that went down really recently, so all Russian. And the Russians aren't having it, like Trump ain't having it here either. But maybe he's finally feeling a bit of remorse for launching the WHOs, not the rock group, not the OWL, or not the little people from Whoville, but the World Health Organization's unlawful pandemic at warp speed, and maybe more. Big Pharma influence, corruption and rape allegations, the hidden scandals of the WHO's history. U.S. President-elect Donald Trump plans to withdraw from the World Health Organization, WHO, on the first day of his second term. The move could save $850 million in annual contributions. The incoming Trump government is also concerned with the WHO's lack of transparency, corruption, and pay-to-play deals. Just tell me when you stop. You didn't hear about any one of those around behind the woodshed. Just we can stop and clarify all that. This is what is one of the good things coming out of this, that this starts to come out where people can actually hear it. And what I was hoping this would do when Trump has the notoriety, people would see through. We're talking about transparency. They want to see through the cover and see who these folks really are. Notable HWO scandals included widely criticized COVID-19 lockdown measures, mask mandates, and vaccination campaigns, which some argued favored Big Pharma, which Trump instigated at warp speed without lawful authority at the mere suggestion by the WHO of a problem called pandemic that has no legal basis relative to local communicable disease law, if a bioweapon attack against we the people could have any validity. So don't forget his integration with all this as well, while we also hear he's wanting to defeat it. And remember, he's just doing the executive part. It will end. That cutting away will end when he leaves. If someone doesn't replace him, that will hold that on, like we just saw Biden do, undo most everything that was done. Now we got a four-year reprieve. WHO Director General Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus has ties to the Bill and Hillary Clinton Foundation's health initiatives, criticized by some investigators for alleged fraud. But whether the investigation turned up anything, this foundation can be placed in the philanthropath category, like the Bill Gates Foundation for death, destruction, and eugenics purposes, under color and pretense of health initiatives called GAVI. They shorten it GAVI, the Global Alliance for Vaccines and Immunization, promoting mRNAs that we know are not vaccines as a matter of local communicable health, communicable disease law. And why is that important for the United States? Because the states have the reserve power. That law is supposed to stand against all this other stuff, even against, I want to make a deal, Trump. He can't make that deal. A public-private global health partnership is what it's called, GAVI, like the WHO, is more a Bill Gates-sponsored terror rackets, which supports the Clinton Global Initiative Community. So it's backwards what you see. All these organizations are actually, Clinton is the beginning of this. The Clinton's a philanthropathic community is what they're promoting, not your community. Is it no wonder another complaint that no one seems to care or to fix is that the critics have raised concerns over the lack of transparency in the WHO's use of assessed contributions based on member states' GDP. If you don't think this is connected up to your expenditures on a global scale, and this little bitty appendage sticking off the UN, is it also having a way with nations that are claiming to be sovereign? How are these sovereigns that are assessed obligations or that account for their budget like the U.S. military doesn't? We're still looking for the $21 trillion, aren't we? So you start looking at how this all works. They're all taking the same model, the same lead, and I'm back right back to the military relative to all this as well. So I wonder how many drones to wow the public that would buy, that money. Remember, if they got it lost, they say it's not lost, it's not accounted for. Well, if they can put it into somewhere and it makes investment, they can get money off the investment, like you see they're doing to Russia right now. they get that money. How much money do you think $21 trillion would make if they could buy all the drones that you're watching, or we think we're watching, or anything else that's going on? And the final complaint I'll cover here, of a couple others that you could read about, one I've repeatedly and routinely pointed out behind the woodshed since I first started broadcasting, or thereabouts, in particular with the pigs fly flu fiasco, which is yet another complaint of the WHO overreaction as a model, just like what occurred during the great COVID swindle, is the WHO being a broker for HARMA for their mutual profit, monetarily and otherwise. And you see they're trying to tie in $850 million directly, but they tie into other profits around the world through HARMA. And then on a side note, that, despite the H1N1 overreaction complaint, the lawless overreaction is not part of this list, nor what Trump had stated as a reason to end the support for the WHO. And so understand these points. And despite the United States reservation in the International Health Regulations, IHR 2005, I've read the reservation for and a bit of that document, more respectful of our organic establishment, where it talks to that reserve power in the reservation of the IHR 2005 UN document. The states do not need the WHO in any regard, being their local communicable disease law is the biting local authority, not the CDC or the WHO or Trump either. Not any, not Fauci. Trump would be admitting to helping HARMA profit unjustly in acknowledging that organic establishment, which deprives him of all authority to act as well, even for the military, which is to be held, or to hold itself, actually, in strict subordination to the civil authority. That would be to the state power, not the federal authority. So follow this lineage of authorities and jurisdictions and sovereignties, and it tells it so. It tells us what it's supposed to be. None of that was regarded. In 2010, the British Medical Journal reported that the key WHO advisors had ties to Big Pharma, which could profit from their decisions. The WHO is the global commercial broker to Pharma to hurt you or kill you under a pretense of saving you safely. Just as I told you, way back a decade over ago, behind the woodshed. I told you that. Here it is coming out. And the problem with Trump withdrawing is like the climate change Paris Accord. It'll only be temporary. And then this all comes back with a vengeance, as you saw happen in the last 4 years. So that's what I'm saying. We the people have to step up and see what really happened and really put some enactments in place that stop this permanently. Not just some executive withholding of an authority. This is going to have to be worked on real diligently to stop it. Otherwise, that future we talk about that may ease a bit with Trump in, it's coming back. And there's just no way to stop it, as you saw. It got worse. It got way worse. And nobody knows where to go look. I don't understand that. You heard a lot of it behind the woodshed. There was more to find. I mean, like I said, lots of people look and find all kinds of stuff. The people that came following, like Catherine Watt or Sasha Latapova and lots of other people actually doing research and study, started picking it all up, but it was too late. It just confirmed what I was saying, that people had to act up front. And so now then everybody saw, you know, that was a real problem. It's going to be a real problem. Thinking you're looking ahead and you've been looking in the rearview mirror the whole darn time. This is going to come back, if you will, the way that you saw it come with Biden, worse. And so I don't know what else to say more than this needs to be like a coalition of people advocating to Trump, like this so-called DOGE advisory committee. You got to advise directly and demand the legislature advocating to Trump and then have him advocate, and then you also advocate to legislatures to enact these laws, making these stops permanent. Just withhold the funding, withhold the address, and you do it for the reason of the reservation for the health stuff. Otherwise, you have to find your local authorities do have the 10th Amendment right. And that's why they can't move like they have been. You put that in the law, you put that in the law to remind people that's what the law is. You don't bring in some foreign non-governmental corruption. You don't allow it. You actually highlight that that's what it was. Because when you bring it up like that, that's what causes that impetus to make the review. And that's what you put in the law. But that must be stated in the minimum, so it can't be undone. To be undone there, literally you could have proof that they intend to violate the organic establishment. So that organic establishment of the United States reserves all that health decision to the state authority under local law, and the appropriations made to any foreign or domestic organization or a public or private entity is interfering or influencing that in any way, those powers reserved to the states, or interfering with the due process protection to the people, should be stated as a misappropriation of public funds and prohibited in those enactments as well. And what you're doing is you delineate exactly the purpose behind the local, where you explain the reservation and you say what that local communicable disease law did to protect people. It was the frontline defense. You want to talk about frontline doctors? I wish they were. They would have taken their power in the communicable disease law and says, you haven't shown my patient to be an infectious principal of the non-fraudulently demonstrated infectious agent. They were the frontline. They just came out and they talk about it in words. They didn't actually enforce that in their own power. The exclusive jurisdiction of their authority, they did not exercise. As I showed you, was that the Portuguese case, that court in Portugal said the exclusive authority for the patient is the doctor, no one else, by the law. So the doctor's not unbridled. And that law, if you go look, empowers the patient. And you know what wants to say about consent? It's all there. You can enforce that by withholding your consent until they disclose this. And so, here we go on and on about this. This is very serious to understand. The WHO took a big, too big a bite. They got exposed. People don't understand that. Now it's time to reel them in, and you have potentially a president and some people in the government that might be able to do it, but it's going to take a motivated group of people forcing this out as a law, not just this act by Trump's not saving anybody. It's only going to be a temporary thing and a temporary relief, and it may be all readjusted to the billionaires club. I don't know. It sure looks like that at this point. And then you bring in those enactments that you bring in to stop this. You bring the accountability right into the bill. A lot of bills don't have accountability. But you bring the accountability against the incursion of that through the another statute that you create, a criminal felony class code, and the accountability for prosecuting that. You've heard me talk about similar to an 18 U.S.C. 3 and 4 provision. So anybody that gets told has an obligation and duty, and I know it's a joke, okay, there's already laws for this and they don't get enforced, well, put them there anyway, while we have another group of people trying to get them to work, right? So this is a big problem. This is what our big problem is. The people have allowed this to go down the road that it has without the accountability built in. And we've let the Bar Association allow the lack of accountability when that would be like being an accessory under color. That's another type of felony. And so we're just not an integrated society this way. I wish we were. I don't like it. I don't like to have to be all over this, but that's the way this, if you go read close enough, that's the way this place was really wired up. And we thought we could hand it to these so-called representatives, but no, they need a short, very short lease if they don't have one on their own. If the law's not enough, then you got to be there. So that, when doing all that, you make these enactments, you put all these accountabilities and things that are kind of roughly sketched out. That will make Trump's withdrawal more meaningful and permanent. Any withdrawal that they do. And maybe someone more listened to and more influential than this guy behind the woodshed needs to contact Trump, his administration, maybe RFK Jr. as well, to push that kind of a thing through. They're going in that momentum. Go ahead and push them hard. It's time to push them in that direction, even if they're couching something and they're not really going to go there. You now use that position, their public position, to make that work for us. And the same should go for the Paris Accords, those sustainable corruptions, such as the climate change, outlaw those corruptions that's going to be a little bit tougher to do, given people are more mind-controlled by the fearing psyops and foreign and domestic invasion that promote it all, because that's going to also directly affect the future that they want. And remember, the military is in on that, too. So this is a lot more complex condition that has to be looked at and understood. And we have the proof of that in the Great Covey Swindle pushing us as close to the Siberian Gulag monopoly as the peoples of the world, I think, has ever seen, and getting inexorably and incrementally closer even yet as we keep moving, because it's all connected. Right, Circolo and Grimner? Hope you're doing well, Circolo. Haven't heard from you for a long time. Hope everything's all right with you and Flash. And so also, it's all connected, as part of that was me showing you how everything, if you look and read around, all these things are working to connected. That's what this notice is all about. This news is telling us how connected it really all is, if we had the eyes to see. And even if you only have part of the eye, you know, part of a thing, you got to see that. That eventually opens up more and more and more. So this, I've been telling you the same thing behind the woodshed since I started broadcasting. And so it's there. We can make excuses for it or not, or we can roll up, see it there and realize that we have a thing to do with it, because that's the way this place was wired. And that thing is really a separate. It's a separate power than all those, the theys that have been out there and out there that we could talk about. That power is in us, and they can't do a thing about it. And I've only said, make sure that when you move with intelligence. Move it properly. Move it with foundation, nice solid foundation, so there's no question. Don't let them get you in to be able to call your names like they've shown us that they can do. This is BTWRLM609. As we all can apparently coming to awareness, making it known of our discontent at home as well. Remember, the Russians are not liking what the West media is doing to them. It's doing it to us, if you read that into it. I hope you did. But we're not so cool about things here either. And we have these mechanisms we're being told can work. And again, they're noticed to us if we would just learn those levers of power and how to wield them or flick them or whatever, twist them or whatever you want to do. Trump and Musk sink U.S. government spending bill. Very important title. A spending bill. The United States government doesn't appropriate money. It doesn't work. It doesn't go anywhere. The thing can't function. And that's as well one of the keys. But be careful on who you're looking at. This anti-hero with the Messiah. But we're watching an information come to us. The Congress must pass a package before the end of the week to avert a government shutdown. Now, there's been some, since I grabbed this, there's been some goings on. Biden put in a provisional type thing. That was interesting to me, but notwithstanding that, I wanted to get to a point here relative to watching a dynamic, watching how it can work, and maybe taking that in under advisement and working with it ourselves. Many observers noted that it was unusual for the incoming president and his team to tip the scales on legislation before officially coming into power. CNN and the Washington Post reported late on Wednesday that the bill had been killed, with Musk confirming it in yet another post on X. Now listen very carefully to this characters, their positions they're playing, and what's going on here as well. Quote, your elected representatives have heard you, and now the terrible bill is dead. The voice of the people has triumphed, he wrote, adding in another post that no bill should be passed Congress until January 20th when Trump takes office. As I've been advocating, I've advocated for 15 years, I've been broadcasting, make yourselves heard. You may even need to be heard over Musk's suggestions when he wants to make Mars great again. And relative to government spending, as it makes it more efficient to make monopolizing billionaires more richer, I want you to think about what I just said. Make Mars great again. And then, upon the subsequent reports, Trump begins to disappear from the dynamic duo saving us from censorship, we're told. And the anti-hero is upon us. The U.S. shuts down its propaganda and censorship agency. Now remember, I've reported, made reports on this of late about these agencies as they're being exposed. But look who rises to the top to take credit. And we have to, as I questioned before, we have to ask why, and then watch the positioning of the players as they move into this new regime coming in. The Global Engagement Center was described by Elon Musk as a threat to democracy. The United States Department's Global Engagement Center was shut down after Republicans cut its funding. Okay, so there's a key. You cut its funding, nothing exists if you cut its funding in the government. And this is going to be one of the themes that's going to happen in Trump that is on the right side of things that need to be done. We need to absolutely reduce the size of government so that we can reduce the expenditures so that your economy doesn't fail. And he has the possibility, a good possibility, to pull that off. And so be careful that people start taking credit for things disappearing in the government when it has to happen. But they're taking credit to take profit from it. So watch how this thing works through as we're reading the news now setting a lot of this up. The agency was responsible for spreading propaganda abroad and, according to conservatives, censoring dissident thought at home. Well, they get rid of that department, but they never got rid of the Smith-Mundt Act, did they? The Modernization Act, right? They didn't get rid of that Modernization Act. That would have stopped them, too. But they don't go there. But anyway, here we go. Ex-owner Elon Musk called the GEC a threat to our democracy last year, describing the agency as the worst offender in the United States government censorship and media manipulation. Remember, they're given license by the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012. And so be careful of this guy, Musk. Musk was instrumental, it says here now, in finally shutting down the GEC. Musk decried the bill, which also included pay raises for lawmakers, as criminal, outrageous, unconscionable, and ultimately one of the worst bills ever written. You've heard unconscionable, right? Behind which it? A lot. Okay. Criminal. You hear that a lot. Do I care if it's outrageous? Well, it's not relevant normally. But criminal and unconscionable, yeah, those are right up on top. Them is the words that you could bring in, but you got to prove it. You just can't say it like he does. But look, he was given credit to this level, instrumental in finally shutting it down. President-elect Donald Trump and Vice President-elect J.D. Vance then released a joint statement against the bill, forcing Johnson to replace it with a trimmed-down piece of legislation totaling less than 120 pages. So P.T. Barnum Musk was instrumental. No one else ever complained, folks, on this? Apparently his free speech is the only one with reach. Your voices don't count. Right? Listen carefully to what's going on here, the setup. I think it's a takedown of us. If it weren't for this anti-hero, right? Do you all see what's going on? Do you see how this is working? It sure has all the earmarks of a setup for a takedown. I don't know about you. And folks, as I've been telling you, you knows them when you sees them. And you know I'm not talking the first time about this problem. With this guy, with the government, with what's going on. And besides, he doesn't know America is not a democratic hypocrisy, but a constitutional republic of limited form government that is supposed to be representative of the will of the people. Not just Musk. So his vociferations ought to have been the Johnny come lately that they are. He should have been denounced for the very point. No different than, the United States is going to go into bankruptcy. How many decades have you been hearing that from all kinds of people? And this guy gets the credit for it now? He's in the news everywhere about saying, we're de facto into bankruptcy. Of course we've been. Of course we are. Now what? That's efficiency? No, he's being set up. He's being put on a pedestal here. So he's a Johnny-come-lately, but he gets the credit. And he uses this to gain undue influence. He's given this power. And the actual target is those lucrative government contracts after the limited form monopolization that's going to be going on through all this. So look at the moves that are going on to get there. And on that war front, for your mind, body, and spirit, the new anti-hero worshippers respond to this fisher of human. And there is a catch, said the fisherman to the fly. It might be you. Elon Musk is winning the war against mainstream media. He should remember who was there first, though, is this author writing. The tech billionaire has cut through the legacy press narrative on the Magdeburg attack, but the battle for truth was raging long before he joined the fray. But it's Elon who is winning in this war of promotion article, masquerading as a criticism. Is P.T. Barnum Musk actually winning, or is the cognitive warfare media machine making the appeal to get the herd to move the flock over for more efficient expropriation? In recent years, the tech billionaire has emerged as one of the most prominent critics of legacy media and its increasingly transparent biases. In the wake of the Magdeburg attack, Musk did what most global leaders and prominent media outlets refused to do. He publicly raised the questions everyone was asking and pointed out the contradictions in the official narrative. If everyone was pointing these out, why did he get the credit? So the entirety of corporate lame-ass media continues its supposed independent press duties to truthfully inform the public, as it has for decades, as we saw in the great Comey swindle, and the P.T. Barnum Musk points out what predictably the clap will predictably not point out. And that somehow equates to a victory for P.T. Barnum Musk, despite any number of other people offering evidence longer than he's been a thing at all, is the promotion for the greatest kabuki on earth I've ever seen in my life. It's also subsequently been shown by screenshots. X wiped that attacker's ex-Twitter account only to bring it back later scrubbed of incriminating evidence of, shall I say, chosen allegiances by Musk and anti-Muslim posts that were removed, whom the attacker, apparently who was Jewish, from some persistent reports, had ex-tweeted about. Think about this censorship that's going on, about cleaning the record in real time. Talk about the Mandela effect, right? This is exactly what I think is going on with it all. Again, the internet's not permanent. Magdeburg narrative unravels. The mainstream media's response to attack followed a depressingly familiar script. Remember, though, even the depressingly part is scripted, so this article can use that. Initial reports focused on generic descriptions of the attacker, avoiding critical details about his ideological backgrounds, motivations, and long history of suspicious behavior. When conflicting evidence emerged suggesting the attacker was not the ex-Muslim atheist he claimed to be, but rather someone deeply entrenched in extremist ideology, the media still hesitated to shift its tone. And the PT, the greatest ex-media on earth, Barnum Musk, would have known all that to run to the front of the parade to lead while evidence was being removed. And so it is written. Musk, however, did not hesitate, using his platform ex-Twitter, formerly Twitter. He called out the inconsistencies in the reporting, criticized the German government in action, and directly challenged Chancellor Olaf Scholz. His posts, viewed and shared by millions, forced a public reckoning. A public reckoning? Well, it's almost impossible to avoid his posts being... He monopolizes the feeds, too. So what kind of reckoning do we make of that? Instead of allowing the narrative to settle into the comfortable grooves carved by mainstream outlets, Musk shattered the illusion and amplified the voices of those who had been warning about the attacker's background for years. So, if ex-Twitter touted the decentralized, despite centralized, monopolized force-feeding, and not just P.T. Barnum Musk's is the new and only media you can trust as the dinosaur media goes extinct. The CNN loses chunks as we see viewerships as ratings dive into death spirals, and other liberal news networks such as MSNBC have been hemorrhaging viewers in real time. This monopolization and rebranding of what mainstream media is, such as ex-Twitter, it's this all thing for the future techno-swamp that they want. It's all in favor of evolving P.T. Barnum Musk, Ringling Brothers Flying Swamposaurus Monopoly Media. Then why is Musk the only reference to those having shattered the illusions created by the clap corporate lame-ass propaganda? Right, Grimmer? Many, many years before Musk. Even RT recognizes this problem, saying Musk is building on ground already broken by others. It's worth acknowledging that he's not the first to challenge the system. Well, like, let's say, the guy behind the woodshed did when shattering the illusion about the warp-speed bioweapon pedestrian attack that Musk was shot with and wounded. And despite the guy behind the woodshed calling out the inconsistencies in reporting and offering the warnings about the government and the military's warp-speed attack so admired in this war-winning article that praises P.T. Barnum Musk regarding censorship, and on a subject his input looks like it's running cover for, unless this is an ongoing cognitive warfare operation that's fulfilling the needs towards the ends of that they want against the people in the world. It's how I'm looking at all this is going on and this guy being put on a pedestal. I questioned his existence in the news cycle continuously months and months ago. And now it's starting to percolate through more into, if you will, RT is more a mainstream than behind the guy behind the woodshed for sure. But old PT commits special interest chosen censorship as more and more people are seeing PT for who he really is. From the Middle East Spectator, Elon Musk claims Legacy Press is pure propaganda while he himself deleted the account of a terrorist in order to wipe his pro-Israel information from it. Elon Musk, CEO of X, now claims that ex-Muslim far-right terrorist Talib al-Abdul Mohsen actually was a Muslim, citing Maral Salmasi, a German-born Iranian ultra-Zionist. Salmasi claims that Talib was lying and that all of his tweets against Islam and pro-Israel were actually done under the Shia Islamic practice of taqiyah, I guess I could say it that way, which is simply laughable. Not only does this imply that Talib was planning this terrorist attack for years upon years, which is extremely unlikely due to the erratic nature of his tweets, it also completely disregards the reality of the principle of taqiyah in Shia Islam. Taqiyah in Shia Islam is not lying and deception to advance Islamic objectives. It is the act of concealing one's true faith or beliefs when under threat of death or destruction of property. For example, if Is asks, "Are you Shia Muslim?" you are allowed to lie and say no in order to protect your life, and it does not permit lying to advance Islamic goals or anything else. Every day Elon Musk reveals his true nature more and more. If X really supported free speech and independent analysis, they would not have banned Talib's original account and wiped all of the dozens of messages where he openly and clearly supports the AFD, Israel, and other far-right figures calling Judaism the religion of God. And I understand PT is raising the cost for Premium Plus censorship to $22 a month from the $16 and $229 from $168, which is almost a 40% increase in this tumult that he's created. And there won't be any censorship competition from the now defunct U.S. State Department Global Engagement Center that Musk was instrumental in defunding. He doesn't have that competition now. He doesn't even have that as a threat against him, like they were claiming all these social media accounts were saying that they had. These public-private partnerships profit this way. So this is one of the ways this public-private partnershiping works. Again, public and private, government and private is fascism. And this anti-hero is so bleedingly influential. He's raising the costs to participate in the Swamposaurus monopoly media and attacking others, saying to stop donating to Wokipedia. So I guess I'm trying to show you, bring these together. There's a literal war going on in the media to monopolize it. And Musk is doing that right now. And he's got influence and he's influential. Very dangerous combination. The tycoon has slammed the Wikipedia Foundation for spending over $50 million on equity and safety and inclusion. Elon Musk has urged internet users to stop supporting Wikipedia over what he sees as disproportionate spending on promoting diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI efforts. Boy, I hope you didn't pick up the tyranny that's coming with that. What he sees as disproportionate spending. On Thursday, Musk suggested that Wikipedia sucks for spending $50 million on DEI. And so I look at this and say there's more to the world than DEI. That's the bait to entice people to bite. Besides, it might suck, but what happened to free speech? More than 90% of the platform's funding comes from donations. Commenting on the report on Tuesday, Musk wrote on X, "Stop donating to Wikipedia until they restore balance to their editing authority." Balance to the editing authority? What, like having free speech but no reach on X Twitter? That kind of monopolizing editing authority? Yeah, so being so influential, let's take P.T. Barnum Musk's suggestion and let's stop donating to wokeism or unbalanced editing authority and start donating, let's say, to reallibertymedia.com, where the balance is in the hands and sound minds of my listener. Stop donating to the they and start supporting the only content worth delivering, like when you get You Behind the Woodshed. Find the donate buttons, folks. Provide sound minds and the crew what they need to engage counter propaganda and tactics and related work. Like it says on every broadcaster, the broadcaster's there to remind us what our real job is. Help bring unstoppable, uncensorable, unbendable truth to people not tainted by PT's promotions towards Swamposaurus monopolized media. Wikipedia or billionaires like P.T. Barnum Musk running propaganda tools don't need or deserve your contributions that have just went and increased. You're paying him to do this to you. But we the people choosing Real Liberty Media to do to protect ourselves here from the day is what I think we need. But other places you find value, but I'm working here, if you will. I'm putting my time through Real Liberty Media, giving our time from the crew to you to make this word get out and better as we can. So I'm asking you again, contribute what you can today, right now. Go find those buttons. On the app, I think if you go down to the website now, you just go to the bottom. There's a couple of buttons. Pick them. Pick one you can choose, a coffee or go to Patreon. And if you're a content creator, or would like to syndicate the network content to spread the word, contact Sound Minds at reallibertymedia.com. And I thank you for doing so. I'd like to see both of those unbalanced editing platforms deceiving people stopped in their tracks. I'm shocked they've gotten this far. They all need to get behind the woodshed now. It just seems to me the way things are working out. And eating out a bigger monopolized censorship share. I mentioned last episode, Rumble took out RLM syndication channels without warning or reason. That's why I'm asking anybody who wants to do syndication, contact Sound Minds. Work with the sound. He'll show you how to do what you need to do. You can just become a repository for the information that you want to put up. You don't have to do the 100% RLM, but I think it'd be easier for you just to go ahead and take the feed and just be another place for people to show up. The intent here in the future that RLM is going to provide decentralization and free speech. But the billionaires, the millionaires, the corporate holders, they reduce the word centralized and free speech to words to profit from. Not advancing free speech or its free delivery and decentralized reach. As we read, Rumble secures $775 million investment from Tether to bolster free speech and decentralization. How do you get free speech and decentralization when they take out an entire syndication platform that was attempting to speak freely and be decentralized? Rumble, a rapidly growing video share platform, only because you allow it, a video sharing platform committed to free speech, it says, has announced a landmark $775 million investment from Tether, the world's largest stablecoin issuer and a leader in digital assets. Do you hear it coming together, folks? This partnership aligns to influential players in their shared mission to advance decentralization and challenge the status quo of centralized systems. challenge the status quo of centralized systems. Now, how is it not centralized at Rumble when they can take you out in an instant, all your accounts? How is blockchain not centralized? The transaction is set to provide a significant boost to Rumble's resources and operational capabilities. From the proceeds, $250 million will be allocated to strengthen the company's financial foundation and accelerate its growth initiatives. Chris Pavlovsky, Rumble's chairman and CEO, will retain his controlling stake following the investment and emphasizing the synergy between the cryptocurrency and free speech communities. They're chaining free speech. You've just heard how much investment in the crypto-Siberian gulag that doesn't intend either decentralization or free speech, except as Pavlov's dog drool over, then don't be one of Pavlov's dogs. For much better decentralization, start using PeerTube. And help RLM make an account. It's kind of that simple, as I'm told. And contact SoundMinds again to syndicate this network feed. Tether CEO Paolo Arduino expressed equal enthusiasm for the collaboration, stating Tether's investment in Rumble reflects our shared values of decentralization, independence, transparency, and fundamental right of free expression. In today's world, legacy media has increasingly eroded, creating an opportunity for platforms like Rumble to offer a credible, uncensored alternative. And how can they say that when they took out RLM's syndication platform? I keep harping on that, but Sound did a lot of work. We're coming back. There's more syndicated accounts coming back in, so it's going to be an ongoing battle as Sound decided to rumble with these liars. So wherever you can, offer, if you can, an account for us to spread the word. As far as I'm concerned, Rumble is already a lying corporate lame-ass propaganda legacy media. It's already time to make Rumble irrelevant. Pavlovsky and his cronies have made enough money off of you. So rumble on over to PeerTube, either as a decentralized content provider or someone that supports the real decentralized, independent, private, fundamental right of free expression at reallibertymedia.com. And that is more than I can say here than a money-grubbing catchphrase. Pavlov makes millions lying to you. Real Liberty Media is asking for a coffee or a comparative peanuts to teach Grimner's white elephant new tricks. So please donate today. Let's make these corporate Wall Street media platforms irrelevant. We're talking about voting with your dollars. This is it. We're watching it right here. And the Billionaire Club, TechnoSwamp, war creatures begin floating up around Trump's ears, nicked or otherwise, to make their move on the money. Tech titans unite. SpaceX, OpenAI, forge alliance to rival U.S. defense giants in government contracts. Now, why would OpenAI and Scale AI be involved if P.T. Barnum Musk's Grok is superior? Maybe it's the undue influence effect of whom grovel kisses the ring of whom, or who is beholden to, I guess, actually. And the Tech Titan minisub didn't do too good well after that Titanic disaster, did it? I see a corollary. Palantir and Anduril are in talks with about a dozen rivals to form a consortium that would jointly bid on government contracts in an attempt to break up the oligopoly of the country's prime contractors, the publication said. Well, they might want to break it up, but it still becomes the military-industrial complex, doesn't it? It doesn't go away. The companies in talks to join the consortium include Elon Musk's SpaceX, ChatGPT creator OpenAI, autonomous shipbuilder Saronic, and artificial intelligence company Scale AI, the newspaper said, citing sources familiar with the situation. And what is the prize? It noted that the discussions were taking place against the backdrop of companies' desire to eat out a bigger share of the U.S. government's $850 billion defense budget from prime contractors Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, and Boeing. A possible agreement is expected to be announced in January. So the prize is money, money, money. And a more solid entry into the military-industrial complex group of organized death cult criminals by the newly created Billionaires Administration. How humanitarian, right, P.T. Barnabas? As usual, what trumps humanitarian propaganda is the funds provided from the bottomless pit of a degenerate fiat debt system, endangering and holding an entire population of we the people hostage for their good faith and credit, because we don't lift a finger to say to these endless warmongering that's going on, enough is enough or else. Besides, who or what deserves that faith and issued that credit and from where doesn't seem to be seriously looked at, and what presumptive credit? Full faith in whose religion funds war and genocide? That defiled people remain as crickets here. This is on our backs that they do all this, and it's in a debt system that, in a way, doesn't really exist. And I know that if it does, it means anybody involved is not a master, and yet they rule the world. How is that? Talk about anomalous existence. State religion, folks. As the faithless political movement progresses unaccountably from river to sea, then the Red Sea, and to the Houthi, and despite all that the Houthi have demanded, and properly so, is that Satan Yehu stop his genocide of the Palestinians as international law obliges the Houthi to do, but the law and morality is not in Satan Yehu to listen. Satan Yehu orders destruction of Houthi infrastructure. The Israeli premier has vowed to hit Yemeni militants with full force. I have instructed our forces to destroy the infrastructure of the Houthis because anyone who tries to harm us will be struck with full force. This is a genocidal maniac. This is a mass murderer saying, if you dare try to stop me, we're going to attack you too. How dare you? We will continue to crush the forces of evil with strength and ingenuity, even if it takes time, Satan Yehu said in a speech to lawmakers. Well, with the U.S. help, of course, the proxy terrorist Satan Yehu and Israel is. In the aftermath of Friday's attack on Jaffa, American and British jets conducted a wave of bombing raids across Yemen. Did you hear a war declared against Yemen? Folks, anybody? Am I missing something? Did I miss the news on that? Did Congress declare a war on Yemen? Amid the attack, the U.S. Navy inadvertently shot down one of its own F-18 fighter jets in a friendly fire incident over the Red Sea, the Pentagon announced on Sunday. The Houthis disputed the Pentagon story, claiming that one of their missiles downed the American jet. And I haven't seen any proof either way. There might have been 3 U.S. planes involved, actually, as the stories are unfolding, and one was a very near miss to an F-18. It exploded, a missile exploded about 100 feet away. But what an immense embarrassment this is on so many levels to the U.S. Navy. If it is true that the sandal wearers can take out a near $100 million aircraft, or even the tanker aircraft that mentioned reports of being vulnerable during takeoff and approaches to landing here. This is the other thing that they're talking about. Whether or not it is, as the United States says, friendly fire, a wholly different technological appropriations embarrassment as well on top of it. Your American sons and daughters are at imminent risk from Satan Yehu, as I said, behind which it would soon occur. Many episodes over many months now. And your American sons and daughters are at risk for no lawful or moral reason either. But Satan Yehu and Israel are pursuant to the international law, illegal belligerent occupiers over one territory, wrongfully attacking yet another country with your blood and treasure. And lucky that aircraft carrier didn't go down. what is they said after that they got attacked. The aircraft carrier skedaddled out of the area right after that. I'm asking for us to be cognitive of what's going on, and if we have any connection to anybody that has an ear, whether they want to hear, you better start making your objections to this whole situation known. As we heard, the voice of the people was heard. Musk told us so. Trump tells us so. They wrote it in a notice. Now, I think it is. But it has to be an organized voice and much more loud than giving all the credit to some one guy. On the other hand, since he does have the credit, maybe some of you that can talk with him or get him to recognize what's going on, maybe you can talk to him. Maybe you can get him to be the influential guy that stops this nonsense. I'm not so sure, but who knows? I don't know everything for sure. So it may be that Satan Yehu may not be able to order the use of a Zionist company NSO group spyware to gain an explosive advantage. As we read now, a developing story coming along, WhatsApp wins major legal case against Pegasus spyware makers NSO. So Satan Yehu may order it, but they're not going to be able to order this company to work if this case keeps going the way it's going. WhatsApp wins a major legal case against NSO group over Pegasus software, making the key step in holding software spyware companies accountable for unlawful surveillance as activists, journalists, and officials. The lawsuit accused NSO Group of using Pegasus to infect and surveil the phones of 1,400 individuals, including journalists, human rights activists, and government officials, during a two-week period in May 2019. The spyware, notorious for its invasive capabilities, was deployed to extract sensitive data from targets via WhatsApp. And understand here, Israel murdering all these journalists that are being killed. How important this disclosure to us is. U.S. District Judge Phyllis Hamilton handed down a summary judgment in favor of WhatsApp, finding the NSO group had violated both state and federal hacking laws, as well as WhatsApp's terms of service. The court also determined that NSO Group had breached the U.S. Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, a significant blow to the spyware maker. NSO Group will now face a jury trial in March 2025 to determine the damages it owes to WhatsApp, which remains the world's most widely used messaging platform. Consider the ramifications of this. When they say targeted, when they have intelligence, when Israel, the Zionists say that they're targeting very specific and precise, how they might be getting that information. This is, I think, a much bigger story than Meta suing spyware group. And the lawless, immoral Zionist impositions are becoming more notorious, as Putin says, godless Jews are tearing apart the Russian Orthodox Church. And I've been having a theme running through my broadcast the last quite a few months now. And it's the spiritual or religious context, because it's part and parcel to what we're going through right now and may continue on with. The people behind the clampdown on the Ukrainian Orthodox Church are infidels, the Russian president has said. These are people without kin or memory, with no roots. They don't cherish what we cherish. So, speaking of ethnic Jews, if we didn't know U.S. supporter and supporting the greater Israel project didn't extend to Ukraine, those of you who haven't been reading so closely. So, why do these infidels need Palestine, is what might want to know, if you start to tie what he's saying together here. And thereafter, an attacking a Christian church, and then go see what's happening in Palestine and Lebanon and Syria. The largest Christian church in Ukraine is being persecuted because the country is run by godless people. Russian President Vladimir Putin has said Ukrainian leader Vladimir Zelensky and many of his associates are ethnic Jews, but have never been seen at a synagogue, he added. The Ukrainian Orthodox Church was outlawed by Zelensky earlier this year over alleged links to Moscow, In speaking at his end-of-year press conference on Thursday, Putin described the move as a blatant violation of human rights, the rights of believers. Quote, the church is being torn apart in front of the whole world, and it's like an execution by firing squad, he said. So Putin complains about the religious firing squad, but not the bomb squad committing genocide in Palestine? Or the destruction of the Shrine of Shimon, also known as the Shrine of St. Peter, in that southern Lebanon story I read about, revered among Shia and Christian populations? No word about that from him beforehand? Or in the birthplace of Jesus Christ, the Christian community, one of the oldest on the planet, living in sorrow and fear in Bethlehem, Christmas is canceled for a second year in a row because of Israeli occupation aggression. We don't hear a peep about him on that. But we can see the wider world being destroyed this way through this very same mechanism. But also not enough evidence here, I guess, for you, although that there was enough evidence for you Judeo-Christian dupes, it seems. This is the very definition of none so blind as those who will not see. Quote, there are not enough atheists, these people. Atheists are people who believe in something. They believe that there is no God, but it is their faith, their conviction. But these people are not atheists. They are simply people without any faith at all. Infidels, Putin said. Putin noted that Zelensky and many of his associates are ethnic Jews, adding, but who has seen them in synagogues? I think no one has seen them in the synagogue. Well, they're going to take note of that. You're going to see them in a synagogue coming out from here on out, but anyway. They are apparently not Orthodox Christians because they do not go to churches either. They are certainly not followers of Islam because it is unlikely for them to appear in a mosque. Well, unless they want to destroy it, I suppose. Quote, these are people without kith or kin. They do not care about anything that is dear to us. And that overwhelming majority of the Ukrainian people as well, Putin added. But if it hadn't occurred to anyone that this is a spiritual war, I think this story points it out. And who's doing it? And what the war is about. And I do have a link for those of you that want to hear the words from his mouth. We got a link to that, the statements that he's making. You can see it in what context. You can see it. I know it's in English, I know translation. You can see the context, you can see what he's doing, you can see his expressions. Figure out for yourself whether you want to believe what he's saying there. And you can find that again, that link at the Behind the Woodshed Blogcaster. We'll probably put that up over there on the new publishing platform called The Ghost. The Ghost in the Machine, I was thinking today. So that's pretty cool. Again, we're trying to do that, Behind the Woodshed. We've been trying to do that now, build that system, The Ghost in the Machine, at the... as we move the Real Liberty Media Network along. And so again, we have the Putin says godless Jews are tearing apart Russian Orthodox Church. Look what these ethnic Jews, so-called, are doing around the world. As crypto-protestant Trump prosecutes his America First, Israeli First ordeal, too good to refuse here. On a recent past episode, I mentioned relative to Trump saying he thought making Kanukistan and Mexico states of the United States, that doing so would essentially fix the illegal migrant invasion problem, that it wouldn't surprise me that Trump would claim all the way down to Panama, and that would also allow a much, much shorter border wall to be made. Listen to the news this week. Trump threatens to return Panama Canal to the United States unless Panama cuts fees. United States President-elect, this guy's funny if he's not real this way, but I think there's something underlying this. Very serious what he's bringing up, what he's showing. Understand what he's saying he's talking about Kanukistan and the monarchy there. And that is over. And the future that might be coming, maybe not in Trump's time, but watch how things are changing. Very interesting dynamic Trump is bringing up here. But that... from the lips of the guy behind Woodshed to Trump's lips now, and the news. U.S. President-elect Donald Trump has threatened to return the Panama Canal to the United States ownership unless Panamanian authorities regulate its ridiculously high fees. that's really the point here about this, but let's carry it on to actually moving the wall down, moving down the border down there, because there's a treaty, and I don't know if I get to it, there's a treaty, and I haven't read it quite yet, I got to it. It says the United States can protect that Panama Canal. And I don't know if there's a limitation on that, but that's a very interesting reservation. And so now this whole thing becomes a little more interesting relative to it may not be just a rhetorical statements or Trump trolling a lot of people. We got to really start to watch this one. In a Truth Social post, Trump said that Panama Canal is considered a vital national asset for the United States because of its critical role in the economy and national security. However, he called the high fees charged by Panama ridiculous and said that it was a ripoff. The ripoff must stop. Quote, if the principles, both moral and legal, of this magnanimous gesture of giving are not allowed, that was the building of the canal, then we will demand the Panama Canal be returned to us in full without question, Trump added. So this is stated about someone completely agreeable to genocide is trying to tell us what principles that are legal and moral is. First of all, it occurred to me. But that border wall will cost a whole lot less if that happens, though, folks, as I said last episode. And you heard that, as I anticipated it. I know what you said. So we better brush up on our Spanish, amigos, pueblos, muchachos, eh? That was for you Canucastinian guys or gals. Yeah, pretty interesting dynamic. He's actually going after Greenland, too. So we got to watch this. And there's a whole lot of shaking going on if he's not trolling. But nobody seems to want a wall in their backyard, it seems. And we get the response from Panama. So we got to keep track of what's going on. Panama's sovereignty is not for sale. Colombian president slams Trump's canal marks. And understand that Panama, we might say it here, I should read first. China is actually running Panama Canal. And that's another rub, a big one. So why Colombian president is responding over this matter in Panama, I didn't quite understand. But this is what the Colombian president is talking here about something in Panama. So let's cut to what the Panamanian president said. Commenting on Trump's statement on Sunday, Panamanian president Jose Raul Molino said that the country's sovereignty was non-negotiable and that the Panama Canal fully belonged to Panama under the 1977 treaty. But non-negotiable, them's is fighting words to a president who wrote the book on the art of the steal, don't you think? And Trump has just mentioned acquiring Greenland, but he's going to pay for that, he thinks, or he says. But maybe President Molino hasn't heard of Bashar al-Assad or the host of other deposed and now dead leaders? That's not to make light of what Panama President's brave statement is, though, if you understand this dynamic. But it seems, correct me if I'm wrong, but no treaty or agreement, not international law, rule of law, nor peace or sovereignty, oops, will deter the United States government of its appointed rounds toward global dominance, not even the prohibition against extortion, coercion, or genocide. So what did the Colombian president, Gustavo Petro, have to say? Quote, I will be on the side of the Panama and the defense of its sovereignty. If the new United States administration wants to talk business, we will talk business face to face and for the good of all people. But we will never negotiate honor and dignity, Petro said on X. So honor and dignity are on the table as well with the author here of The Art of the Steal. With Petro, meet Bashar al-Assad if you are so lucky. With no one wanting a wall in their backyard, maybe Trump's thought of taking Panama to reduce the length of the wall, as I suggested last episode, by the way, and before he threatened Panama this week, was too short-sighted, seeing that the resistance to a wall at all, maybe the author of The Art of the Steal should extend that to the tippiest tip of Argentina. Then there won't be no need for sneaking wall at all. Problem solved. And the upside for us in the Northern Hemisphere is considering the Don plays 5D chess when Trump's master bingo card filler said Yahoo and Zionist apologists are not stopped instigating nuclear war, all of us in the North, subjected to that nuclear fallout and nuclear winter, we'll have a place to go without any immigration or naturalization delays to the Southern Hemisphere. Trump is good, isn't he? He's really thinking ahead. What a playa. Or is that playa in Spanish? For when he drains the swamp. Yeah, I better brush up on my Espanole. Especially if it won't be so hot, tamale. Why might we need to go to Mars anyway? I talked about it earlier before. Keep track of this one. Why might we? I don't know. Maybe because Trump kicked everyone off and we started to run out of affordable materials to make our high-tech nuclear weapons to kill everyone with. Or so they will tell us because, well, Mars. But shock, we used it all up already trying to get there, right, Musk? China bans exports of U.S. and gallium. Germanium, antimony in response to chip sanctions. Artificial intelligence, folks. China announced Tuesday it's banning exports to the United States of gallium, germanium, antimony, and other key high-tech materials with potential for military applications as a general principle, lashing back at the United States' limits on semiconductor-related exports. The Chinese Commerce Ministry announced that the move after the Washington expanded its list of Chinese companies subject to export controls. Computer chip making equipment. Software and high bandwidth memory chips. Such chips are needed for advanced applications. The ratcheting up of trade restrictions comes as the president-elect Donald Trump has been threatening to sharply raise tariffs on imports from China and other countries, potentially intensifying simmering tensions over trade and technology. Quote, China has lodged stern protests with the U.S. for its update of the semiconductor export control measures, sanctions against Chinese companies, and malicious suppression of Chinese technology progress. Lin Qian, a Chinese foreign minister spokesman, said in a routine briefing Tuesday. Quote, I want to reiterate that China firmly opposes the U.S. overstretching the concept of national security, abuse of export control measures, and illegal unilateral sanctions. Sanctions? How far did that get us with Russia? And long-arm jurisdiction against Chinese companies. Long-arm down to Panama sounds pretty long to me, too. They are used in many industrial areas such as cutting tools, disc brakes, and protective coatings. The licensing requirements that China announced in August also covered smelting and separation technology and machinery and other items related to super hard materials. Let me offer the smelting in this country, United States of America, has been all but shut down because of the environmentalist. And so we've cut our throats based on a foreign imposition of sustainable goals and environmentalism that went too far and overstretched its authority. And hopefully Trump can bring that in, but it won't be on an executive side. They're going to have to make legislation to bring those back in for us. And we can empower the miners again, who actually bring real wealth to the nation. China is the biggest global source of gallium and germanium, which are produced in small amounts but are needed to make the computer chips for mobile phones, cars, and other products, as well as solar panels and military technology. China Semiconductor Industry Association issued a similar statement, adding that such restrictions are disrupting supply chains and inflating costs for American companies. Talk about a boomerang. Spit in the wind, get it back in your face. U.S. chip products are no longer safe and reliable. China's related industries will have to be cautious in purchasing U.S. chips, it said. The U.S. gets about half of its supply of both gallium and germanium metals directly from China, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. China exported about 23 metric tons, 25 tons of gallium in 2022 and produces about 600 metric tons of germanium per year. The U.S. has deposits of such minerals but has not been mining them, though some projects underway are exploring ways to tap those resources. And that's, again, because the federal agencies are hamstringing the producers, especially if it's in a known uncommon mineral, which is a valuable mineral. They're not supposed to be messing and interfering with it. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be some constraints on their activity off-site, but it doesn't mean that they're supposed to shut them down and make them license themselves for 15 years. That's what they do for leasables and sellables. It's a misappropriation, using their funds, the agencies misappropriate their funds to attached something that was a grant to anybody who's a locator of those minerals. The export restrictions have had a mixed impact on the prices of those critical minerals, with the price of antimony more than doubling this year to over $25,000 per ton. Prices of gallium and germanium and graphite also have mostly risen. And I was thinking about this antimony. I remember the first time I met one of my mining colleagues, three of us were sitting at a restaurant talking about mining and things like that, and a little bit of politics. And this was after we got the Jefferson Mining District started, so we're talking a little bit about that too, and we're waiting for our meals to show up. And all of a sudden, this new acquaintance was an older guy in a cowboy hat who, we were just speaking about horses actually, he pulls out this rock and puts it in my hand and asks, "Can you tell me what this is?" And I looked at him thinking to myself, well, you should know, you're a miner. So I said, "That is a very pretty rock. Where did you get it from?" And he said, "Northeastern Oregon." Then he asked again, "Can you tell me what it is?" And I said, "This is one of the finest specimens of antimony I've seen in these parts. Almost as nice as I've seen down south." And he laughs out loud and said, "You know what it is? Not many do." And I said, "Yes, used to see this as a kid, as my father's and grandfather's mercury mine. And I haven't seen as nice a peacock since then." And I handed it back to him. With that, I think I passed my mining test with him, and he smiled, and we commenced to talking about mining and minerals and geology and asteroid impacts and fault structures and deposits and on and on. And we've been fast friends and mentors for each other ever since, I think, that day. And I guess it's just something that you know when you talk with people like this. Your experience comes before you. And as I think about that and our reaction, and that we have three miners, we're talking about things that a lot of people wouldn't know. We have no need to go to Mars. Just support the dumb miners here. Okay, Trump? This has been BTWRLM 609. I'll be with you next week. Tech diffs or nature willing?
Echoes call, the hour is near. Behind the woodshed, the truth you'll hear. Every Sunday, the clock strikes three. Hal's voice rolls like thunder, piercing free. Pull up a chair, lean in close, lessons to learn. Dose by dose, behind the woodshed, no stone unturned. House words ignite, the airwaves burn. Stand up, listen, it's time to learn. Behind the woodshed, where truths are earned. Law to liberty, the spectrum line in house court, no place to hide. A cantaloupe bass, ready to burst for unspoken truths and unquenchable thirst. Behind the woodshed, no stone unturned, house words ignite, the airwaves burn, stand up, listen, it's time to learn, behind the woodshed, where truths are earned. So mark the time when Sunday comes, behind the woodshed, beating drums, house voice, a beacon, fierce and bold, in the fight for truth. Call behind the woodshed, standing tall.